It's good to be back with you, church. Is this on or is it? Yeah, okay, good. It's good to be back with you. We travel a lot. It's good to be at a place where you can come and you can feel like you're at home. And it's good to be welcomed in places. There's a lot of places you go to, it's not like that. I'm going to move this right here, brother. If not, I'll be seeing this food up here. I'm hungry already. I'll be thinking about them green beans and potatoes and everything else I'll be ready to eat. It's good to be back. I got a joke book for Christmas. It's probably something they shouldn't have gave me. I'd probably been better off not getting that. And so they got some of the best mother-in-law jokes in there you've ever heard. I love my mother-in-law, but if I can't give her a hard time, I'm going to be in bad shape. I heard one in there. I was reading it the other day. It said a man took his dog to the vet and bit his mother-in-law. And as he walks in the vet's office, the lady comes up and says, "Sir, what are you in here for?" He said, "Well, this dog bit my mother-in-law." And they said, "But that's a humble little dog. That's a meek little dog. Please tell me you're not going to put that dog to sleep." He said, "Oh, no, I come to sharpen his teeth and take him back to the house." If you got your Bibles today, if you would turn with me to the book of Luke. In chapter number... I'm struggling between two thoughts right now, I'm going to be honest with you. In the book of Luke, please, in chapter number 24. God gave me this message just a little bit ago. I've never preached it before. I usually like to preach something. But I usually like to practice it at least one time in the mirror before I preach it. Any of you preachers in here, you know what I mean. It's a lot easier to preach it to yourself when you make mistakes. You can go back and start over. But in the book of Luke, chapter number 24, if you can, if you're able, if you'll stand with us while we read the Word of God, we're going to look down in verse number 13 and read down to verse number 27, and I'll be looking at some other things within there. If you're familiar with this story, you know that the disciples, if you're familiar with this story, you know that Jesus has been crucified at this point, and there's two fellas that appear on the Emmaus Road right here with Jesus, and they're walking down that road, and the Bible picks up down here in verse number 13. It says, "Behold, two of them..." When the same day, let me start over. "Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was Jerusalem, about 3 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." Boy, I'm glad the days that Jesus draws near to you when you're heartache and you're discomforted and you feel like you can't make it through, and that's what these boys is going through. I'm glad when Jesus draws near to us. "But their eyes were not holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, Art thou a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass? And there in these days, and he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth." Let me stop right here and say, when Jesus asks you a question, he knows the answer. And sometimes he's just asking to see how we're going to answer and where we're going to stand on things. "And hath not known the things which shall come to pass in these days. And he said unto them, What things?" And I'm back in verse number 19. "And he said unto them, What things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deeds and words before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trust that it had been he which should have been redeemed Israel. Besides all this, it is the third day since these things were done." If you want something interesting in your Bible, study out the third day. "And yea, certain women also were of our company, made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of the men which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the woman hath said, but they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, believe all the prophets have spoken? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And here's the verse I want to focus on today. "And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Lord, I love you today, and God, I thank you for being so good to us. Lord, I thank you today, Lord God, that God, you still walk with us and talk with us. And God, you still stay beside us when we don't see how we can make it through. Now, Father, I'm an empty vessel, broken, no good for nothing. And God, I ask you to use me today. God, would you fill me up? And God, would you preach me with the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord God? As the old timers used to pray, God, would you give me unction? Now, Lord, would you speak to my heart as I speak to the heart of your people? And we're certainly going to praise you and thank you today for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As the story starts, we had talked about they had came through and the one that they had followed for 3.5 years had now died. And you can imagine the frustration it would have set in upon their face. You could imagine how they would have felt hurt and how they would have been some confusion even at this point, for they had looked for Jesus and they had thought that he was going to raise up on that third day. He was going to knock Caesar off the throne and immediately start his kingdom, but God had other plans than that. When I started looking at this scripture the other day, I noticed that the Bible said that they were 3 furlongs that they traveled that day. If you're interested how long that is, that's 6.6 miles. As you get in this Christian life, I'll tell you, it's going to be a long journey. I mean, it's not sometimes a short journey. We feel like, hey, we're going to get saved, we're going to start living for God, and everything's going to be perfect. We're not going to experience any heartache and trouble. But brother, I'm here to tell you today that if you're in this Christian life longer than 5 minutes, trouble and heartache's going to come, and pain's going to come. It's going to leave us sometimes saying, God, where are you? And God, how did we get to this? But you listen to me, during those times, Jesus will draw near, and Jesus will be right there with you. The Bible says he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He said he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm telling you, this journey may be long. We may not understand a lot of things that's going on in it, but if you listen to me today, Jesus will be there with you through this journey. Not only would it have been a long journey, I imagine as they started, it would have been a lonely journey. Can you see them walking down there by themselves that day? I mean, there have been 12 of them traveling together, and there have been disciples that would have gathered together, and there would have been a great multitude coming with them. It would have been a time of fun and excitement. And I'll be honest with you, I like being around Christian people. I like being around cutting up and having fun. And if y'all would have been down the toy drive this year, and you can ask some people, we have a good time. And boys, my best friend down there named Butter, I'm telling you, when you get us two together, this ain't a whole lot of seriousness that goes on. We decided one night we was going to call Benny Hinn and mess with him. So we just wanted to have a good time. And it's a fun time when you get together with the brethren. But then when trials and troubles and heartaches come, and those brethren, for some reason, they scattered and they left you, for whatever reason, they're not close that day, it gets lonely in this thing. I mean, there's times that I'm telling you, I'll sit in a prayer closet by myself and saying, God, I just want somebody to talk to. God, I just want somebody to help me. God, I just need something from you. God, I feel discouraged. God, I want some encouragement. But I'm telling you again, during those times, that Jesus will draw very near, that he will be right there, that he's not going to leave you. I mean, he'll put his arms around you during those times. He'll take you up when you're hurting. He'll heal your heartache, and he'll bring you through those tough times. I thought right now I'd be pastoring a little church in Reedsville, and I thought that God's plan had just lined out right there in front of my face. And I prayed and I agonized and I fasted and I begged God to do that, and if that was God's will, I'd have it. And the very day before it was supposed to happen, some things came up and God just wouldn't allow me to take the church. And I remember that Monday, I'm telling you, I was burdened about the church. It was hard. I was laying in a closet. I was crying. I was saying, God, would you help me? God, would you touch me? God, would you do something for me? And then the sweet Holy Ghost of God will come up and put his arms around you. When you feel like there is no way, hey, he's the one that'll make a way. When you feel like the river's too big and the problems are too big, he'll be the way to get you through. Remember in college, I wrote a story about old Jackie Robinson. If y'all remember him, he was the first black man to play professional baseball. And as I started writing that story, I remembered something that happened within there. And they said that right as Jackie came over to the professional baseball league, that he was over there one day and he made 2 errors in one inning. And he said Jackie was down on his knees and said, he's going through his mind, he said, I'm just ready to quit. Man, I'm tired of the harm. I'm tired of what people are saying. I'm tired of what people are going to do. I'm just tired of having to travel all these miles and just listen to people down me and to be the very first one to try and make a difference. And they said Jackie Robinson that day just stayed down there a few minutes, and Jackie was ready to quit. Well, old Pee Wee Reese come up. If y'all know Pee Wee, put his arm around him and looked and said, Jackie, I'm going to tell you something, son. It's time to get up. You can't quit. You're about ready to make a difference. Things are about to change for you, but you can't quit now, and you got to give up. There's time, the Holy Ghost of God, when you're ready to give up and you're ready to quit, he'll come wrap his arms around you and put his arms around you, and that'll make all the difference in the world that day.
and you find that that's what Jesus did that particular day. And it was a long trip and a lonely trip. But I'm here to tell you today that this is a lovely trip we're on. I mean, it may not look good on the outside. It may look like the liberals are having their way. It may look like we don't know what we're going to do. But I'm telling you today, we're traveling a lovely road. For one day, this thing's going to end. Our fate's going to end inside. The heartache and the trouble and the pain's going to be gone. We're going to look up in heaven and see what God's done for us and see how it all worked out according to His will and His plan and realize God had a way for us. I can imagine when they got lonely and they was hurting and the road got long and they wanted to stop and quit as Jesus drew near and He started saying, "You don't understand what happened. There's more to the story. There's more going on. Hey, boys, just keep going. Just keep pressing. You're going to see me one day." But I wonder what He said down there in verse 27 when the Bible says that He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. Firstly, I don't know. I wasn't there that day. But if I was sitting here and giving a guess, I believe you, He would have went back to Exodus. And He would have said, "Fellas, on the water in the boulder." He said, you remember back there in Exodus chapter number 17, when the children of Israel had got out there and they were dry and they were thirsty and they needed something that day, that God had a man named Moses out there and He took that big old staff and He smited that rock and the waters got to flowing and the waters went here and the waters went there and you was able to be filled and you was able to get through those hard times. Hey, we can thank God today that there's only one time that rock had to be smitten upon Calvary, and now the only thing we got to do, we ain't got to work our way to heaven. We don't have to do that. We simply just got to go up to the rock and say, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Would you come into my heart and save me?" And out of our belly, the Bible says, will flow rivers of living water, and we can tell the world about a Savior and what He did for us and how He got us through and how everything happened in our lives. I'm telling you today that God's still giving water in a dry and thirsty land. And I look on TV, I don't see much hope. And I look at this election next time, and I'm telling you, before I vote for our president, I'll vote for a cow if they put him on the ballot, because I think we'd be better off. I don't see a whole lot of hope. I see new legislation coming up doing this and that. I read the other day in California right now that kids are going to be taught homosexual rights based upon their quote-unquote heroes of their faith, they want to call it. And they want to be taught how they got this great big thing in the United States. I don't find a whole lot of hope right there. But I'm telling you this, when times look hopeless and times look bleakless, the living water's still out there. It still flows freely. It's still given to God's people. We can go up and sup with it and taste it, and we can get a drink of it, and we can get through this time. Now, I find when He put that rod up that day, boy, they'd look up on that rod and He'd take it and smite it. Hey, that very same rod that brought the water out is the very same water that'll save you through your trials and tribulations. For it wasn't a whole lot longer that a bunch of whole lot of snakes had got in the camp and they was biting all the children of Israel and they was getting them sick and they was killing them. But when the serpent would come around, Moses took that old serpent that day and He put him up on a pole and He said, "If you need healing today, what you need to do is look up there to the cross. Hey, look to the pole. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. Hey, let's get our eyes off this present world. Let's get them focused upon the cross. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Hey, God's people, we're going to make it. We're going to the other side. We're going to land on firm ground and a solid foundation. Everything's going to be okay. We're not going to have any worries. We're not going to have any heartaches. We're not going to have any hurt." If I can encourage you today, hey, look to the pole. You got problems. Look to the pole. You need something from God, look to the pole. Don't look to the government. Hey, don't look to the world. Look to the pole. Teenagers today, you say, "I need something. Oh, I need God to help me in this." Hey, look to the pole. Don't look to that boyfriend or girlfriend. Just stay looking to the pole. Keep your eyes upon the pole. Keep your eyes upon Calvary, because one day the heavenly God's going to blow that last trumpet and we're going to be out of here and go to heaven. Not only do I believe He said He is the water in the boulder, but I believe over in Joshua chapter number 5, He would have been the warrior in the battle.
When we find over there in Joshua chapter number 5 that he shows up as the unseen captain, Joshua's worried, Joshua's fretting. How are we going to get through this time? How are we going to make it? How are we going to do it? Next thing we do, we see a holy God show up that day. And boy, relieves all Joshua's fears, all Joshua's worries, all Joshua's concerns that day. And I like that the Bible says that he fed them with corn. Hey, we may not be getting manna from heaven now. We may not see the harvest come in like we used to. But I refuse to get excited when I see one get saved. Maybe you're not preaching and seeing the mass multitudes get saved. But I refuse to get excited when that one little boy or girl walks down and lays up on an altar and asks God to save them. That one little boy or girl, they ask God. The boy says, God, I want to be a preacher. And the girl says, I want to be a preacher's wife. I want to be a missionary. Hey, we got something to get excited about. About today, that God's still in charge and God's still in control. Listen, I got a little old Sentra in that thing. I'm telling you, every time I turn around, it seems like something's breaking on it. The heat didn't work the other day, and you got to hit and kick it and do everything you can. And you're just worrying sometimes. Say, how in the world are you ever going to find out if these things ain't going to crank or do this or that? Half time, it don't even feel like it wants to crank right. Let me tell you, I don't have everything that I want. And truth be known, I'd like to be driving a big old Cadillac Escalade. I know that I can't afford to put gas in it. I mean, I'd like to have one that's got all them fancy gizmos and gadgets on it that I can hit, and man, it'd run me to town, it'd run me here, and it'd run me there, and basically the thing would drive itself. And I may not have everything that I want. And sitting in that wilderness, they may not have had the manna in heaven, but I'm telling you this, they had exactly what they needed. And God gave His people what they needed. Hey, He gave us what was exactly sufficient. The blood today is still sufficient. And that same blood that saved in the old days is the same blood that will save in the new days. Hey, that same cross that worked for Grandma and Grandpa is the same cross that will work today. Hey, the same hell that's alive today is the same one that's alive back then. And I'm telling you that it may feel like, hey, we don't have everything we want, but we still got a sufficient God today that's in control. This got it all working to plan, and we're sitting here fretting, saying, God, how are we going to get through? And I believe sometimes up in heaven, He's looking and saying, you know what's getting ready to happen? Boy, I'm going to let this happen, and this happen, and this happen. And we're looking and saying, God can't be in this, and God can't be in that, and God can't do this. But we're going to look around one day, and that trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to say, my goodness, God was in this, and God was in that, and God was here. Oh, my goodness, God, I didn't realize how good you are. Thank you for doing that. God, thank you for getting us through. But He was the walker that day. He was the warrior in the battle. And you know what else I find out when he was in there? And Joshua started worshiping, and he did it willingly. Nobody had to tell him. He didn't have to stir some emotions or tell everybody, say, all right, now we're going to get up and say praise the Lord 3 times and run back and forth to the back of the church. And Joshua just did it willing. He saw God. He said, oh my goodness, boy, I'm not worthy. God, I'm a sinner. And he fell down in front of God. And he said, God, are you on my side or are you on their side? And God says, Joshua, I'm on your side, son. I'm going to be the one that brings you through the battle. You're not getting through it without me. And the Bible says that he took off his shoes because he was on holy ground, and I believe he looked that day and said, God, you're worthy. I'll do whatever you say. I'll do whatever you tell me. And God, if you send me to India, God, if you send me to Africa, and God, I don't care, but God, I'll do whatever you tell me. I'm here as a youth pastor. Boy, it should tickle my heart when some of them teenagers would get up. There'd be a squalling and a crying. I'd say, Brother Jeff, I've just decided wherever God sends me, I'll go. I'd say, well, hallelujah. What if God sends you to the Muslim country in Africa? Boy, I'll go. If God sends me to Iraq, I'll go. God does this, I'll go. If God does that, I'll go. But if we're not careful somewhere along the battle in this thing, we'll get our eyes off God and our willingness to once go and tell Him that He's worthy and tell Him that we'll do whatever He wants to do. We'll get caught in the things of this world and let that bother us and put us into our place. See, if Joshua would have done that day, if Joshua would have said, God, you're not that good, and God, you're not that important, I really just don't want to have a whole lot to do with you. You know what would have happened? They'd have got their butt whooped. It wouldn't have worked. And they would have sat here, and all the promises of God they would have denied and spit in the holy God's face. I preach a lot out of Numbers chapter number 32. That passage over there breaks my heart. When God had gave them a promise, brother. I mean, He said, listen, go over there and possess the land. He didn't say fight for the land. He said, just go possess it. Now, there will be battles when we got to possess it. But He said, go possess the land. And them boys sitting there, and them 2.5 tribes said, God, we like it pretty good over here. God, it's okay over here. I mean, the bills are getting paid and we've got plenty of cattle and we've got all of these things, God, that look good to us. So he said, tell you what, go battle, but come back. You know what they did? They went and battled and they came back. And you know that cattle business, if you read down there, they talked about, you want to know what's going to happen? You sell your kids out for cattle, they're going to live with the swine the rest of their life. Because you go to Mark chapter number 5, that same tribe of Gad that was over there that would not cross Jordan, that said, I don't want to cross Jordan. That same tribe of Gad was sitting here, had a boy in there named a demoniac. And the Bible said he is full of devils. And you know what happened during that whole thing? If they would have just crossed over Jordan and went and possessed that Christian life that God had told them, they never would have had to deal with that. We don't find any of them other tribes say that fella's name. He wasn't from any of them other tribes. He was from the tribe of Gad. And don't sell yourself short in what God's got you. But also I find that down in Daniel chapter number 3, I believe he would have said that he was the walker in the blaze. If you remember old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had got there that day. And boy, times it got hard and Nebuchadnezzar come up and said, tell you what, just bow to me. You just bow to me, you worship me, and everything will be okay. The same trick that Nebuchadnezzar tried back then, the same trick that Satan's trying today. You just bow to me and worship me. Hey, everything's going to be okay. And I preach hard on music. I'm telling you right now, I preach against music more than I preach against anything. Because over there, you know what the Bible said that he used to bow? All of those instruments and all kinds of music. This new contemporary music, I wouldn't give you a penny for it. I just don't like it. But all kinds of music. And they're selling themselves short because they wanted to bow because of the music. But he gets right there to the mouth of that pit and Nebuchadnezzar says, boys, I tell you what, I'm going to give you one last chance. And I see old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Bible says they looked and said, God's going to deliver us, but if not, we ain't bowing to you. I've had to come to this point in my life. Hey, God, I need you to do this, but if not, hey, you're still worthy to serve. God, I need you to do that, but if not, you're still worthy to serve. And God, I want you to do this and that. God, but if not, you're still worthy to serve. Get away from the facts saying, God, I want you to do this and God, I want you to do that, but if not, you're still worthy to serve. If we look around, what we'll end up doing is saying, God, you're good and you're mighty. As long as you do it my way. But they get to the mouth of that thing, and you know he's got some servants there, and they fall down that thing, and they're incinerated. I mean, they're gone. The blaze could not stop them. But I find that there was three down in there, and boy, right around there, Nebuchadnezzar looks in there, and I find that I don't even think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't even know Jesus is in there with them at the time, and he looks in there and says, how many did you throw in the fire? They said, we threw three. He said, but there's a fourth one in there, and his face looks like the Son of Man. Hey, you want to stay out of the fire? You want to make sure you don't want to go to hell? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in the blood, in heaven, nothing else. I believe Jesus looked back at him that day and said, I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be a generation coming up, and they're going to need something. The only way that they're going to stay out of the fire of hell is by putting their faith and their hope and their trust in me and in nothing else, not their good works, not what they can do, not everything time that they bow to an evil and corrupt world. Hey, put their faith and their hope and their trust in Jesus. And the very same Jesus that delivered them from the fire back then is the very same Jesus today that's delivering you from the fire, that's keeping you out of your trials and your heartache and everything you need. I'm telling you today, he's the very same Jesus. I believe he'd have looked lastly and he'd have said, well, you're the walker in the blaze. And he'd have said, yeah. I said, was there anything else? He'd have said, oh, yeah. He said, just let me speak to you about the future. And he said, what? He said, I'm the way into the banquet. He said, there's going to be a day coming when there's going to be a big feast happening up in heaven. And he said, we're going to call it the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, the only way you're going to get an invitation to that wedding is by making sure that you're blood-bought and child of God, and you ain't going in there any other way. And I can just imagine in heaven one day as those back doors, I mean, they'll bust open, and we'll walk up here to the front, and we'll see Jesus standing here, and God the Father moderating, and he'll look and say, son, was it worth it? Was it worth everything you went to, all the times you had to wait, and all the trials and tribulations? And I believe he'll
look and have a tear in his eyes and say, Daddy, oh God, it was worth it. I'd do it again if you have me to do it. And I believe he'll look at his bride and say, Bride, oh, is it worth the husbandman you got? Oh, is it worth it for him? I believe he'll look and say, oh yeah. Oh goodness, thank you for saving me, Lord. Oh Jesus, thank you. Oh God, you're wonderful. God, you're better than we ever imagined. Boy, it's good to be here. I remember the day we got married. Boy, I think that's the prettiest I've ever seen my wife. I remember them back doors. I was standing up here nervous as I could be. The preacher was preaching the wedding, stuttered. And I remember when he got to saying the vows, I got to stutter. And I was just following him. He said, Jeff, you take Kristen. And I said, I take Kristen. I was nervous. I didn't know how we was ever going to make it, but I knew I loved her, and I knew that's what God wanted me to do. And I remember she come through those back doors, and boy, those wedding vows, saying, boy, she was beautiful. I remember looking at her saying, my goodness, boy, I got to be the luckiest man in the world. I remember going through my mind at times, like, I want to make sure everything plays out right. I want to make sure I put the ring on the right hand. You know, I was superstitious about that. I said, I'll mess around, put it on the wrong hand. I'll put it on her pinky or something. And I said, I really want to make sure I say the vows and everything correctly. And, boy, I really want this to go right. And there was not a doubt in my mind as she walked down that aisle that day that I wanted her to be my wife. I'm telling you, I didn't sit here and say, you know what, boy, I sure like to run out of here. I wish somebody, say, anybody got anything to hold their peace? Speak now forever, hold your peace. As soon as somebody says something, I can run out of here. Wasn't a doubt in my mind. And as she came down there that day, I remember she stood, and boy, the preacher was saying the vows and everything. I remember it came time to say, I do. And I looked and I said, oh, I do. But I'm going to tell you what blessed my heart, boy. Was on the other end, there was somebody that looked back at me and said, I do. You realize today, if you ask God to save you, all you're saying is, God, I will. You know what he's going to say? I will too. Oh, God, would you have me? God, you don't realize what I've done. God, you don't realize everything I've been through. God, would you have me? And say, oh, yeah, it don't matter what you've been through. Hey, you see, right here, I've done took all that shame and that pain upon my back. I will. I believe they got to looking around and got interested and said, boy, you sure do know a lot about this Jesus. You sure know an awful lot about him. He's dead. We can't find him. How do you know so much about him? And the Bible says they remembered him by the breaking of bread. I believe that day they got ready to eat that night. And he didn't say a word. They said, do you really know that much about him? He still ain't said a word. And he went up there and he got the bread that day. And as he took the bread, he broke it. Now, you got to understand the garment they wore back in was a long flowing garment. And the sleeves would have came down to about right here. And I believe right as he took, as he went and he broke that bread, them sleeves rolled up. And he rolled them wrists over. And they seen and said, oh my goodness, it's him. It's him, because the Bible said their eyes were open. Hey, we've seen the scars. We know he's alive. It's going to be okay, because the Bible says they head back down there and they find the disciples and say, guess what, boys? Jesus is alive. He's here. And I believe they said, how do you know he's alive for sure? And they said, you won't believe it. What, he told us all this stuff and he broke the bread and we've seen the scars and we know that it's him. It wasn't a counterfeit. It was the real deal that day. And I don't know about you, boy, but there's times that I like to have a fresh vision of Calvary, and I like when God breaks the bread for me and I see the scars and I see the realness there, and I've seen that he loves me and I've seen that he died for me and I've seen that he brought me through, and that was the only way I got through. But that's not all of us today. For some of us today are living on religion, living on the hope of our good works, living on the fact that we feel like that God absolutely hates us, so why would he want anything to do with us? I'm telling you today, God loves everybody in this room. God wants to save you. God don't want to see you die and go to hell. And you know why you can? Because he's still breaking bread. I mean, he's still breaking that bread, and you can still see that, and that bread's still being broke every day. Bible says that he was lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. He knew what we was going to be. He knew what we was going to need. And he still chose to go to that cross anyway. Somebody slipped to the piano. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I love you today. God, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done. God, I pray that, God, you take this little simple thought out of Luke 24, Lord, and bless it. And God, bless the people and touch them, Lord. And I'm going to thank you today and praise you for what you're going to do now in Jesus' name. Amen. Would it be one here today with everybody looking around with your head bowed and your eyes closed saying, preacher,
I don't know for sure that I'm saved. Listen, I'm not going to come to you. I just want to pray for you. I don't want to embarrass you. I just simply want to pray for you. There'd be one today that would say that. Preacher, I'm not for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. If you are, if that's you, would you slip up your hand? We see that hand. Would there be one today that says, Preacher, I tell you what, I've been walking afar off from God. Boy, I haven't been giving God all of my all. Would that be you today? If that's you, would you slip up your hand? I'm not going to come to you. I just want to pray for you. Well, I see that hand. And thank God. Would there be one today that just says, you know what? I just haven't been spending as much time as I need to spend with God. And I've let life's troubles get in my way. If that's you, would you slip that hand up? And we see those hands. I'm going to pray. And after I pray, the altar's open. Come down here. If you're not saved today, I'm telling you, somebody will take a Bible and show you that you know you're saved today. Hey, if you need something from God today, come down here. Find up on the altar. Lord, we love you today. God, we thank you. God, I pray that, God, you take the message. God, you touch those that lifted their hands, Lord. Lord, the ones in need of salvation. And God, the ones in need of something from God now. Now, we're going to thank you and praise you for what you're going to do now in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open. If you need something from God today, you can come find it. For you, Pastor. He sounded awful on the phone this morning. I don't know if it's all that tenderloin and country ham we ate yesterday or not, but it sure was a blessing. Thank you for having us, church. We sure do appreciate it.